Amen. I believe he'll come, and if he don't come soon, a lot of us are going to be going to meet him. Amen. Good to see you here tonight, and I know most time our cameras don't show the crowd, they only show the front part, but if it did show the crowd tonight, if you would look tonight, there'd really be no reason for nobody not coming to church tonight, because you could be 10 foot apart or 12 foot apart. If you so desired to be so. But we're thankful that you are here tonight in the house of the Lord. Sunday's my best day. I feel better on Sunday than I do any day. I don't feel on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and even Saturday like I feel on Sunday. I can feel bad on Saturday, but when I wake up Sunday, I feel good. I don't know why that is, but it's not just because I'm going to get to preach. But it's just something about Sunday. Amen. I know when John said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, I know he had something other in mind other than Sunday. But I am glad for the Lord's Day. I'm glad that we can come and gather as the apostles did in the book of Acts on the first day of the week, that we could gather and come and worship with God's people. And just something to me about being able to come in from out there and be together for a little while, and I need it. Some can make it without coming in any at all. Others can make it with coming in just a little bit, but I need it all and then some. And amen. So I appreciate the Lord, appreciate His blessings. I want you to turn tonight, if you would, for a few minutes tonight over to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11, and we're going to drop down to verse 21 tonight. Hopefully next week, a lot of our folks that have been self-quarantined will be able to be back. But the way this thing works, it seems like it's an unending cycle. One comes back and three have to leave. And it seems like it's an unending cycle, but we just do the best we can. Man, when y'all stand up, it looks like we got a real good crowd. Y'all just care to stand up while I preach? Amen. He said, Sammy Allen, if you went to hear Sammy Allen preach, he might leave you standing up for the whole time he's preaching. Sometimes an hour and a half. So we won't do you that way tonight. All right, Hebrews 11, verse 21. We've been talking about Jacob for about 3 weeks now. And the Bible said, by faith Jacob, when he was a-dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. Thank you, be seated. Our fathers, we come to you tonight. I meant every word, Lord, that I just said about the Lord's Day. And I'm thankful for every day that God gives us here on planet Earth. But there's just something special, Lord, about Sunday. Since I got right with God and love in my heart like I ought to have for the things of God, there's just something about the Lord's Day that, Lord, I just need to come here. It's like a homing pigeon going home. This is my closest place to home till I get home. And I thank you, Father, for God's people. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you've saved me from myself. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, that you've saved us from our thoughts that sometimes that we have that are not God's thoughts. And we read the Word and we find out that our thoughts are not God's thoughts. And I thank you from the ways that you keep me from that are not God's ways. And I think they are until I read the Word of God and I find out my ways are not God's ways a lot of times. And Lord, as we come tonight, we thank you for the Word of God. It's the only thing, Lord, in this world that can feed the soul of man. And Lord, I thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, it's the only thing in this world that can give light to the darkened, blinded sinner, Lord, and show him the way home. And I pray tonight, Lord, the light will shine bright. I pray the Word that God will set the table and feed the saints of God tonight. Give me liberty. Help me tonight. Save the lost, Lord, to help them to realize how urgent it is, Lord, to be saved and to confess you down here so that you won't be ashamed of them up there. And God, just help us tonight. Forgive me of my sins, shortcomings, just outright wrongdoings. Lord, forgive me and cleanse me tonight and use me tonight for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, Jacob, we've already studied tonight that Jacob has had three divine encounters with God. In Genesis 28, we find that Jacob met God there, made a pillar out of a stone, saw a ladder going up from heaven to earth, and he met God there with a divine encounter there in Genesis 28. We find some years later, Genesis 32, that Jacob meets God again. And we preached about that, how that he met God there once again, and he wrestled with an angel. The Bible said, to the breaking of day, he refused to let him go until he blessed him. And then some 20 years passed, and we sing last Sunday night where that Jacob was told by God to go back to Bethel. And some 20 years after the meeting in Genesis 32, God says, arise and go back to Bethel. There is no vision of a ladder going to heaven and earth. There is no encounter with an angel that he wrestled with all night long, because the further we go in this thing, the less we ought to have to see and the less we ought to have to feel, and we ought to be going by faith. And so God simply speaks to him in Genesis 35 and said, get up and go back to Bethel. And he obeys God, and he has another encounter with God. Now, most people would stop it right there and say, well, that's the three encounters that Jacob had with God. But I find one more here that Jacob has with God that we're all going to have with God. Nobody ever comes into this life unless they die at birth. If they live any time at all, that they're going to have an encounter with God. Going to have an encounter with God. Pilate's wife gave him a hard thing to do, an impossible thing to do. She said that she dreamed about the Lord, and she told her husband the next morning, said, have nothing to do with this just man. It's impossible to live in this world and not have something to do with Jesus Christ before you get out of it. And Jacob had, he had met the Lord, and because that he had met the Lord three different times, and his response was good at every time, that now he's come down to life's end. All of us will encounter God as we go through life, and you can mark it down, neighbor, that all of us are going to encounter God when we go out of this life. The Bible says that you and I, that, you know, it's kind of like going to the grocery store. And you can go down the aisle and you can pick out anything you want to pick and put in your cart. But you ain't getting out of this place until you go through the checkout. And that's the way it is in this life. You can go through this life and you can grab anything you want. You can get all of it you want. But don't forget, before you go out, you got to check out. Amen. And you're going to check out, and you're going to meet God when you make that last checkout, when we make that last move. We're going to encounter God. Now, because that Jacob had already encountered God three times, and because that Jacob had already had positive meetings with God, he was ready when this final encounter came. Amen. I asked you tonight, were it to come tonight, would you be ready for this final encounter with God? I want to look at three things tonight about Jacob's final encounter with God. First of all, the Bible said in our text there that we read, the Bible said, by faith, Jacob, when he was a-dying. Now, Jacob, like all of us, our final encounter with God will come at death. We will meet God. The atheist will meet God. The old rich man in hell, when he died, he lifted up his eyes, and being in torment, he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And the old rich man had to meet God. He had to encounter God. The Bible said in the book of Amos, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Amen. And so it's noteworthy that Jacob, I'll just say this in passing, that it's noteworthy that when Jacob came down time to die, that, bless God, he still had the faith. You say, why do you say that? Because it says it in the text. It said, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying. Amen. And so Jacob dies, and thank God he's got the faith. You see, the time had come, just like it will for all of us. The time will come that Jacob's appointment rolled around. Amen. The Bible said in Job 7:3, is not there an appointed time to man upon the earth? Is not his day spent like a hireling? In other words, in so many words, Job says that each of us is like a man that we're here on earth to do a job. Whenever our work is done, then God takes us home. Amen. I believe there's a lot of truth to that. I've heard so many people say, Brother Rick, why has God left me here? I can't walk. I ain't any benefit to anybody. I can't do nothing for nobody. Why has God left me here? And then they'll answer their own question, and they'll say, he must have something for me to do. Amen. I believe that. I believe as long as God has got us here upon this earth, there's something that you and I need to be doing for the Lord. The Bible said in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Amen. And so all of us have an appointment with death. It's the only appointment that we can't break. We can break the doctor's appointment or a banker appointment or some other appointment, but we cannot break that divine appointment that God has for each of us with death. Amen. I'm persuaded that we don't think enough about it. Amen. We're always thinking about living, but we don't think too much about dying. You say, well, it's depressing. It is if you're not saved. You say, well, it's depressing. It's scary. It is if you're not saved. Amen. But I want you to know that Jacob had an appointment here. There was a timing in this thing. The Bible said by faith, the Bible said Jacob, when he was a dying, there was an appointed time for Jacob to die. I was listening to a thing last night about all this COVID stuff and about the multiplied millions that have died in nursing homes and places like that. And a medical doctor said for many of them, it was nothing more. A medical doctor said this, for many of them, it was nothing more than their time to die. It wasn't because of the COVID. If they had got the measles or smallpox or anything else, they would have died because of their immune system, their age, and most importantly, the time. Amen. And so all of us have a time to die. The Bible said in Psalm 39:4, the psalmist said, Lord, help me to know my end and what it is, and the measure of my days. He said, my age is nothing to thee, and every man in his best state, it's altogether vanity. Amen. And so young people die, old people die, middle-aged people die. People die all the time. And you and I have an appointment with death. And so the timing of this thing, it was simply time for him to die. Then let me say this. The Bible said in Genesis 47 and verse 28, Genesis 47 and verse number 28, the Bible says that Jacob is there. And he's now went up there with to meet Joseph. He's went to stand before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh asked him a question. Pharaoh says in verse 9, Jacob said unto Pharaoh, Pharaoh had asked him, how old are you? How old are you, Jacob? He must have looked old. He said, how old are you? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 137 years. And evil have the days of the years of my life been, and I have not obtained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the day of their pilgrimage. Now, Jacob's not dying here. It'll be 10 more years before Jacob dies. Jacob's age, not only does it have an appointment, but his age is 147 years old. Did you hear what he said? He said, my days have been few and evil. Well, we wouldn't think it'd be few if you could live to be 147. But he said, I've not obtained until the days of my fathers. In other words, his father and them had lived even longer than what he had lived. Amen. And so he looks at his life at 137. He looks at his life and he said, my days have been few and they have been full of trouble and evil things. That's what he says at 137 years old. Few and evil have the days of my life been. How many knows that as you go along in life, that you look at things different from different points? You don't look at things at 20 year old the way you do at 40 years old. You don't look at things 40 years old the way you do at 60 years old. And you don't look at things at 60 year old the way you do at 80 years old. And you certainly don't look at things at 80 years old the way you look at them at 100 years old. And I can't imagine how you'd look at them at 137 years old. I guess like him, he said, my days have been evil and my days have been few. Well, it don't matter if you live to be 147. It don't matter if you live to be 100. I tell you, it don't matter if you live to be 67 years old. I tell you, you look at your life and you say, where did the time go? How did these kids grow up so fast? How did I get like this? You look in the mirror and say, what in the world happened? Amen. What happened? How did I get here? Where did my hair go? Has anybody seen my teeth? I can't see, and thank God I can't, because of the way I look. Amen. So, you know, as you get older, you look at things different. Now, we know this, that Jacob was aware that his dying was coming. It didn't take him by surprise. Some people have massive heart attacks and there seems to be no warning whatsoever. Some people have car accidents and there seems to be no warning whatsoever. Some people are murdered, killed, and on, the list could go. But Jacob will be in that number that knows that he is dying. Look in Genesis 49 and look there if you will. In Genesis 49 and verse number 33, and the Bible said, and when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet unto the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Jacob knew he was dying. We'll back up a little bit, and the Bible said that he called his sons and he charged them. Verse 29, he said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac, Rebekah, his wife, and there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is given therein was from the children of Heth. And verse 33, there's no doubt about it. Jacob knew that he was going to die. I believe with all my heart, I believe there's people, Brother Eddie Williams, that walk close with God and they live close with God. And God gives them a little insight into when they're leaving this world. I could talk about a lot tonight for sake of time, I won't. But I'm thinking about an old preacher back years ago that used to come to our home church and preach revival. The only ones that probably remember him here tonight be my wife or her sister and maybe my brother-in-law Wilbur. But he used to be an old preacher and his name was P.A. Dixon. He preached up in Anderson, Indiana. I preached the first youth revival that I first revival ever preached anywhere. He had me up there to preach for him. And he was a tremendous preacher. He was a great preacher, a great man of God. And he pastored 38th Street there in Anderson for many, many years. When he got up about my age, he had a heart attack. And when he had this heart attack, he was going to give the church up. And some men went to him and talked him into staying. They said, don't give the church up, and nobody can do with it what you can, and God's not done with you. And they talked him into staying. And so he stayed a couple of years, two or three years, and had some other health issues, and he decided to retire, and he gave up the church, and he moved to Texas. And he said when he retired, he said, I'm moving away. Because he said, I've pastored this church for over 40-some years. And he said, if I don't move away, he said, everybody that I've pastored, when they pass away, they're going to want me to do their funerals. And he said, I'm going to be doing funerals forever and ever and ever. And my son lives down in Texas. He wants us to come. And so we're going to move to Texas. And so him and his wife, Esther, they sold out, packed up, and they moved to Texas. They lived there for several years, went to church with his son. He preached some there in that church every now and then. But his health got worse. And one day, Brother Dixon went to the doctor. And when he went to the doctor, he hadn't been feeling good, and he went to the doctor, and he returned home after that doctor's visit. He got all of his shoes out of the closet. Preachers have a lot of shoes. He got them all out, and he shined them all up. Spiffed them all up, shined them up, set them back in there. He went into the kitchen and got his wife, Esther, who was on a lot of medication. He got all of her medication out and set it on the table like she was supposed to take it. And he sat down in the chair and he said, Esther, I prayed that God would let me live one day longer than you so I could take care of you. But he said, it's not going to happen. He's not going to do it. Next day or so, he died, went out to meet the Lord. He had a divine sense that his life was coming to an end. Now, I don't believe that happens to everybody. I believe that happens to people that walk close to God, live close to God, that God give him a little enlightenment on when he was about to leave this world. And so we have the timing of it. Jacob had an appointment. We have his age, 147 years old, and we have his awareness of it. He knew what was coming. Now, let me say this tonight. You may not know when it's coming, but you dead sure know it is coming. And you better make preparations for it, because it could be tonight, it could be in the morning, I pray not, but this could be the last night that you have here on planet Earth. Amen. Jacob was aware of the fact he was going to die. We see the timing of it. Now, I want you to notice this in verse 21. The Bible said, by faith, thank God he's still got the faith, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph. Now, Jacob finishes well. He had a lot of problems down through his life. He lied to his old blind daddy. He stole the birthright of his brother. He was a schemer. He was a liar. He had a lot of bad things about him down through life. But every encounter that he had with God seemed to help a little bit more. And he comes down to the end, and he finishes well. I will tell you something tonight. It's not so important that you live a perfect life, because nobody can do that anyway. But what's more important than you striving to live a perfect life, what's as important as that, is to make sure you're a good repenter. Amen. You see, Saul and David, they both did pretty much the same thing. But David was a man after God's own heart, and Saul wound up down at a witch's house. The only difference between them two was one of them was a good repenter, and the other one was a rebeller. Amen. God said about him that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Amen. So Jacob finishes well because, number one, he still has faith, thank God. But he also finishes well by how we find Him at the end of life. You say, how do we find Him, Brother Rick? Well, look in Genesis 48. The Bible said there in Genesis 48, and it came to pass, it came to pass that after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob, said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee, and Israel strengthened himself, and he sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and he blessed me there. Let me say this, one of the reasons that God, I know He finishes well. It's because when He finishes, He's not complaining. He's not talking about all the bad stuff. He's not talking about all of the evil stuff. He's not saying, I wanted to live longer. He's not saying, why did this happen to me? No, sir. The Bible said He sits upon the bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty hath appeared to me. I know He finishes well because He finishes talking about God. He said, God Almighty has blessed me. Amen. Listen, thank God for the person that can live their life for God and come down to the end of life and be bragging on God. R.G. Lee had a bunch of boys as preachers, and R.G. Lee was there in Memphis in the hospital dying, and R.G. Lee told the nurse to call his, said, call all my boys and tell them to come down here. And they all came down there. And they said, what'd you want, Daddy? He said, I want you to watch how a Christian dies. Amen. That old man died praising God and shouting to God and giving God the glory. Amen. I wasn't there, but I was told by different ones, his family, I was told that Brother Sheets, he went out a-shouting. He went out a-praising God. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, he didn't go out screaming and yelling and saying, get my feet out of the fire, and it's getting dark. No, he went out praising God. Amen. I was out at the hospital one night visiting, and Marla Dason, Paul's wife's grandmother, was in ICU, and she was a pretty good-sized lady, and I seen her as I went in. I waved at her, she waved at me, and I went on around to see who I was going to see. And in a few minutes, I heard the awful commotion, and I heard somebody saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And nurses were running everywhere, and the machines were going off, and when it finally calmed down, they asked her, said, ma'am, what's wrong with you? And something had happened to her machine, and she thought she was a dying. She said, I thought I was a dying, and if I was, I was going to go out praising God. Amen. Well, she didn't die, but she had a good rehearsal there. Amen. I'm glad, thank God. Listen, I'm glad that Jacob, he died. We see the blessings here that he dies and he ain't had too much of God. He ain't burnt out like people say. He's not tired of God. He's not had too much church. He's not had too much preaching. He's not had too much singing. He's not had too much praying. No, sir. He's as much on fire for God when he goes out as he was before he met God. Amen. He died and his conversation is all about God. Now look down verse 10. Look down verse 10. They bring them boys in there, Ephraim, Manasseh, and he's about blind. And the old man, now remember, he's lying down the bed. But when they come in there, the old man sits up on the side of the bed like this. And he's talking to them boys. And the Bible says his eyes are dim. He can't really see all that good. Listen to what he says there in Genesis 49 or 48. And the Bible said in verse 10, and the eyes of Israel, that's Jacob, the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them, and embraced them. Not only is this old man dying and his conversations about God, but this old man's a dying and he's still got compassion in his soul. Amen. Thank God he's not a 147-year-old bitter man. Life has not made him bitter. By the way, did you remember what he said back there in Genesis 137? He said, my days are few and evil. 10 years have passed. And now he's talking a lot different. He's talking about God Almighty. He's talking about how God's blessed him. He's talking about how God's been good to him. And the Bible says that old man, he comes down to the end of the way and he grabs them grand boys and he kisses them and he embraces them. And that old man is still full of the love of God. Amen. I tell you, it won't never hurt a Christian to get full of the Spirit of God. But when you do, make sure you get the love of God with it. Amen. Make sure you get full of the love of God. It's good to be full of faith, but make sure that you got the love of God with it. It's sure to get full of hope, but make sure you got the love of God with it. Because the Bible said there abided three things, faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. Amen. And so the old man comes down to the end of the way and he's still got the love of God in his heart. Amen. I don't want to come down the end of the way. I hope you don't want to come down the end of the way and be a bitter old woman. I'd be a bitter old man. I'd be a bitter Christian. That ever you complain about everything and gripe about everything. No, I hope that you and I both can be filled with the love of God and show God's love all the way through our life and show it as we go out of life. Amen. The Bible said that there was that compassion. There was that conversation. But watch this. Look at Genesis 49:33. We done read it once. But it said, and when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, talk about his burial, he gathered up his feet in the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Not only do we see that when he has this last encounter with God, it was in God's timing, but when he has this last encounter with God, we see God's blessings. The old man is talking about God. The old man has the compassion of God. And watch this. The old man knows he's a dying. He sits up on the bed to talk to him. And then the Bible said he gets back in the bed and he grabs his legs and he pulls them up to himself. And he gives up the ghost. There's a calmness in that. There's a calmness in that. He's not screaming and yelling and calling for life support and this, that, and the other. The old man knows it's his time to die. And he's ready to go. Amen. He's got a calmness about him. He's not screaming and yelling. No, he just gets back in the bed, pulls his legs up to him, and the Bible said he gave up the ghost. Amen. I'm talking about Jacob's final encounter with God. There was a time for that. There'd be a time for you and a time for me. Amen. There was the blessing of it. How that he reacted at that point in his life, how that he reacted. Amen. And then, he wasn't just saying everything. A lot of people say, well, I'm old now, I can say what I want to say. Well, you might can, but that don't mean you ought to. You probably ought to let your speech be seasoned with grace all the way till the time you die. Amen. We see Jacob's timing when he meets God. Jacob's blessing when he meets God. But look in verse 21. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph, and he worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. Let me say this, and this ain't in my notes, but I want to say it. That old man died a blessing people. I want to die blessing people. What about you? We may not get the opportunity in the sense that our life may end quick. But Jacob's didn't. He had a little while there and he died a blessing people. talking about God and telling about what God had done for them. Amen. You and I ought to want to die, not only live being a blessing, but want to die being a blessing. You probably prayed about being a blessing while you're living. Have you ever prayed about being a blessing when you're dying? Being a blessing to your kids and your family. Tell them about God. I believe it was old Joe Henry Hankins, great Baptist preacher of yesteryear, had several brothers and sisters, all of them saved but one. I just read it the other day. And his daddy called them all of them in. He's a dying. And as he was his dying, his daddy called him over one by one to the bed. And he hugged him and said, I love you. I'll see you in a little while. And the last son was unsaved. And he called him over and he hugged him real tight. And he said, son, give me another hug. Because if you don't get saved, I'll never see you again. I'll never see you again. You see, that old man was a blessing while he was a dying. Boy went on, got under conviction, got saved. But you see, he was a witness and he was a working for God. He was being a blessing while he was dying. Amen. The Bible said Jacob's final encounter is good. He has faith. He is a blessing others. And he is worshiping, the Bible said, leaning upon a staff. Amen. Now, here's that old man. Now, here's the thing. And some of you know this, some of you don't. But every Jewish boy, every Hebrew boy, when they got up age, they were given a staff. They didn't have an iPad. They didn't have a tablet. They didn't have a laptop. They didn't have a notebook. They didn't have stuff like that. They didn't have a courthouse and records down at the courthouse where they'd go check on things. Every young boy was given a staff. And no doubt Jacob was given a staff. The Bible said when he's dying, he sits up in the bed and he's leaning upon that staff. And the Bible said he is worshiping God. You say, how could he be worshiping God leaning upon that staff? Well, you have to understand that those boys, every major thing that happened in their life, they would make an engraving on that staff. They would make a mark on that staff somewhere. It would be on that staff. And that old man is sitting there and he's leaning upon his staff because he's weak and he's worshiping God and he's running his hand up and down that staff. And he gets down there and he hits a place and he says, that's the first time I met God in Genesis 28. I remember that. And he goes up and hits another place and he said, that's the second time I met God. He said, I met God there in Genesis 28. He goes on up there and he says, I tell you what, right there is when I went back to Bethel and I got right with God. There's my wife. There's my kids. There's my grandkids. Everything major that happened to that old man's life, he had it remarked or recorded somewhere on that staff. Amen. And so he's running his hand up and down that staff and he's thinking about what God's done for him all his life. Look back over in Genesis, if you will, in Genesis 49. Look in Genesis 49. I like this. And he's blessing them two boys. And he's got his hands on them two boys. And the Bible said he blessed Joseph. And he said, verse 15, God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, watch this, God, which fed me all my life long until this day. Amen. He's thinking about the provisions of God for 147 years. God has fed him. Amen. He's never went hungry. He's never lacked a meal. God has fed him. Somebody ought to say, praise God. I'm so many years old and I don't know what it is to be hungry. I've had steak. I've had chicken. I've had hamburgers. I've eaten to my full. And God God has fed me all the days of my life. Amen. And people live to be 70 and 80 years old. Never one time thank God for one meal that they've ever had. Amen. They've ever had. Amen. He's thanking God for what He's done. Notice what your Bible says. The Bible said He leaned upon the top of His staff. You say, what's significant in that? He started down here, and He's coming up through there thinking about His life and the blessings of God, and He's come all the way up to the top, which means His life is about over. Amen. He realizes where He's at. He's at the top of His staff. And He's worshiping God. He's worshiping God. He's worshiping God because what God's done for Him. You shouldn't come to church on Sunday morning hoping God will do something for you. You ought to get an altar and up in the aisles and get your hands up in the air, and you ought to worship Him for what He's already done for you. Amen. You ought to worship Him. You can walk. You can talk. You could eat today. You slept last night. I mean, people come to church and they say, I hope Brother Rick preaches good. I hope the singers sing good. Maybe I'll feel like blessing God. You ought to bless God. If I bombed out the biggest bomb that could ever be bombed out, you ought to stand up and thank God and praise God and bless God for what He's already done for you.
Amen.
He's already done for you. And then He's looking at where He's at. You ever look where you're at? There's a whole lot of you like me. We passed the halfway mark. The Bible said man's days are 70 and some of us are there, some of us are right there at it. Now that don't mean you're going to die when you get 70. The Bible said man's days are 70. If a reason streak, they be 80. If you live to be 80, you probably wish you died at 70. Because the Bible said it's strength, labor, and sorrow. And we're soon cut off and we fly away. In the Old Testament, long life is a blessing. In the New Testament, it's getting where if you get out of here young, you may be better off. Amen. Amen. Because things, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but things have changed and they are changing. Amen. So He's at the top of the staff. He realizes He's lived up most of His life and He's there at the end of it. Some of you are about right here. Some of you is about right here. Some of you is about right here. Some of you's got this much to finally get up and do something for God. Some of you's got about this much. You don't have as much time as you did have to do something for God. And some of us don't have hardly as much time as we used to have to do something for God. And some of you better get to it. Because you're already at the top of the staff. And may I say most certainly, if you ain't never been saved, God's let you live here on this earth for 70, 80 years, and you ain't never got saved yet and confessed Christ, that's just like spitting in God's face. You say, I'm going to slip in. Nobody slips in. Nobody accidentally falls in. Nobody slips in by God. If you get in this church age, you'll believe on Christ, confess Him, repent of your sins, and get born again.
Yeah.
Or you won't get in. Worshiping for what God's done. Worshiping for where He's at. Now remember where He's at. He's at the top of His staff. Life's about over. Watch this. This is a real blessing. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis 48. No, let's go to Genesis 49. We done read this once, but I want you to get it. He's dying. He knows he's dying. Verse 29, he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan. Land of Canaan. Now go over to chapter 50 and verse 5. Joseph said, my father made me swear, saying, lo, I die, and in my grave, which I have digged for me, in the land of Canaan. Not only is he blessing God because of what God's done, no longer is he blessing God because of where he's at, but thank God he's a blessing God for where he's a going. Amen. I thank God he said, you say, where's he going? The Bible said, he said, I'm going to be gathered unto my people. Amen. You know what happens when you die? If you got saved loved ones, you're going to be gathered unto your people. Amen. You know what we call heaven sometimes? Canaan land. We used to sing that song around here, you remember it? Dwelling in the land of Canaan. Jacob has a final encounter with God. And it is good. Jacob finishes well. It's important how you start. Very important how you start. But it's more important how you finish. A lot of people started well that didn't finish well. I want to finish well.
Amen.
And sometimes the hardest miles there is the last mile of the way. You physically are not what you once was. You mentally, you got so many things to worry about. But you and I both need to do our dead level best to keep our faith in God. Wouldn't it be a shame to live a Christian life all your life, to teach Sunday school, to preach, to sing, to come to church all your life, and then come down to the end of life and just kill every ounce of faith your children had in you? I wasn't going to tell this, but it seemed like the Lord's wanting me to, but several years ago, around Thanksgiving, young lady come in this church and brought a man with her, and we had a big service that day and like cardboard testimonies and just a big Thanksgiving worship service. And she came down to the altar and rededicated her life to God. I knew her because I'd went to church with her down at our home church, and I knew her. She's actually a little bit kin to my wife by marriage. And Anita come down and rededicated her life to God. And after service that morning, she said, I've got cancer for the second time. First time she had cancer, she said, I told the Lord if he would heal me of it. She said, I told him I'd get in church and serve God. And she said, I told him that the first time. And she said, now I just found out I got cancer again. I got to go to Louisville in the morning, Jewish hospital, for scans. And me and Brother Greg drove up there to be with her, and we stood there in Jewish hospital. And they took her in, was hoping for the best, praying for the best. And she told me, she said, just before they rolled her in, she looked up and she said, Brother Rick said, I had cancer once before. I saved. I went away from God back out in the world. And she said, I had cancer once before and I begged God if He'd let me get out of it, let me live through it, I'd live for God. And she said, but I ain't kept my promise. And she said, I don't know what God's going to do this time. And I said, Anita, I don't know what God's going to do this time either. But I said, let's pray. We prayed and they rolled her on back and they come out in a little while. The cancer was real bad and they didn't give her too long to live. And long story short, she kept getting worse and worse and worse. And all the time she was thinking God was going to intervene. God was going to do something. She believed it. Believed it with all her heart. She believed it. And she kept thinking God was going to heal her. Cancer was going to go away. Kept getting worse. One Saturday morning, her daddy called me and said, "Brother Rick, can you come out here?" Said, "The doctors told Anita yesterday she just has very short time to live." And said, "We can't do nothing with her. She won't take her medicine." Said, she just screaming, yelling, and said that we can't do nothing with her. And I said, "I'll be right there." And I drove out there and went in the room. Anita was laying on a sofa bed there. There's a young boy laying over on the couch, which I found out later was her son that she didn't raise. But he was there on the couch. And all the family was in there. And she was saying, "I ain't going to take my medicine." And she was just saying everything. I never said a word. And finally, when they all said what they wanted to say and everything, it got quiet. I said, "Do you all care to leave the room? Just leave me and Anita in here by herself." They all left, and I got a chair, and I pulled it over her by where she's laying. And I said, "Anita, I said, I want you to take my hands, and I want you to look in my eyes. I said, that doctor told you yesterday." I said, "Anita, are you saved?" And she said, "Yes, Brother Rick, I do know I've been saved. I know that I'm saved." I said, "That doctor told you yesterday you're going to die, didn't he?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "He lied to you." I said, "Look here at what the Bible said. The Bible said, he that believeth on me shall never die. Believeth thou this?" And I said, "Anita, your little boy was laying over on the couch. It's unsaved. At about 10 or 11 years old, he's laying on the couch. And he's hearing all you're saying about God being unfair and all like that." And I said, "Anita, that's the last impression you're going to leave on this young man's mind." And I said, "Anita, I said, I don't know how long you've got left, but I said, if you'll use it for God and witness to people and talk to people and use it for God, I said, I don't know, God may extend your days. But I said, you need to use it for God." I left, went outside, and in a few minutes, Anita called for her mother and said, "Bring my medicine in here." They brought her medicine in there, and she took her medicine. And she told her son, she said, "Son," she said, "Mama's going to die, but Mama's going to heaven. Amen. And Mama wants you to come to heaven too." And her husband was an unsaved man. And she witnessed to him at the day of the funeral. We walked out of the funeral parlor there and walked together. And her husband's walking by me. And he said, "You know what, Brother Rick?" He said, "There on the last..." He said, "Anita witnessed to everybody coming and going."
Amen.
Said she witnessed every nurse that come in the room. She witnessed to the doctors. She witnessed to her son. She witnessed to everybody. She said, "Brother Rick," he said, "Brother Rick, the last thing she told me, she wanted me to meet her in heaven." Amen. You say, "What happened?" She died well. She died making an impact for God. Amen. How are you going to die? If you don't think about it, make no plans about it, probably won't die well. Amen. Father, I thank you tonight for this wonderful scriptures in the Bible.